This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss, Cohen in for Terry Gross. Today is Alfred Hitchcock's 100th birthday, a celebration which began earlier this year with new books, movies, and retrospectives. The most shocking of Hitchcock's thrillers was Psycho. It was shocking that the main character, Marion, played by Janet Leigh, would be murdered long before the movie ended. Shocking that she was stabbed repeatedly while taking a shower. And shocking that the killer was the vulnerable but psychotic motel owner Norman Bates. The screenplay by Joseph Stefano was based on a novel by Robert Bloch. Janet Leigh wrote a 1995 book about the making of Psycho. She spoke to Terry Gross earlier this year. Before we meet Leigh, let's hear a scene from Psycho. After Marion has arrived at the Bates Motel, she's stolen some money and is feeling very guilty. Norman Bates, played by Anthony Perkins, has invited her into his parlor for a sandwich. He's described his problems with his invalid, seemingly mad mother. Marion suggests that he put his mother in an institution.
Have you ever seen the inside of one of those places? The laughing and the tears. And the cruel eyes studying you. My mother there. But she's harmless. She's as harmless as one of those stuffed birds.
I am sorry. I only felt... It seems she's hurting you. I meant well.
People always mean well. They cluck their thick tongues and shake their heads and suggest, oh, so very delicately. Of course, I've suggested it myself, but I hate to even think about it. She needs me. It's not as if she were a maniac, a raving thing. She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes. Haven't you?
Yes. Sometimes just one time can be enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Norman.
Now, what was your reaction when you read that your character was killed halfway through the story?
Well, actually, in the novel, it's only two pages.
Oh.
But what Mr. Hitchcock explained is that he wasn't going to go into the entire history of this gentleman because it was just too much, that he was going to concentrate on Mary and the discovery of Mary. And, you know, in other words, it would revolve around her. So I knew it was going to be... a short part. I didn't know it would even be as long as it turned out to be, which was due to Mr. Stefano's take on it, because it was interesting to me that when I interviewed Mr. Stefano about in regard to the book, he said that when he first met with Mr. Hitchcock, he had said, I really don't like Norman Bates very much. I mean, he's an unattractive, you know, I mean, he's just not something I want to write about. He said, but what interested me was that if you start the movie with the girl and get the audience into her life and her problems and her traumas and bring her then to Norman Bates, then, especially with Anthony Perkins playing Norman Bates, then you have lured the audience into a situation where they think it's going to be, oh yeah, well now there's two guys and which one is she going to go for? And that's, you know, your typical kind of little wrapped in a blue ribbon package. And of course, then the tragedy becomes even more shocking. And of course, Mr. Hitchcock immediately saw the value of this. And Mr. Stefano said to me that Hitch leaned over and there was this gleam in his eye. And he said, oh, yes, and we'll get a star to play her so that it would be even be more of a shock.
Well, and it was. I mean, it was shocking for audiences when you were killed, and when this motel owner, who you seemed to kind of pity, if anything, turned out to really be a monster.
Right. Well, that's why he was so, Tony Perkins was just so brilliant, because almost you wanted to mother him in a way. You know, you felt sorry, and yet he had that undertone of where there would be a spark of something that would set him off, and you could see that there was, it wasn't quite right, and yet you could never identify what was wrong. And that's why it was, you know, so beautifully done by him.
Your character is a kind of ambiguous figure in that she seems to be a really nice and decent person, yet she steals all this money in the hopes of giving her fiancé enough money to actually marry her, giving her boyfriend enough money to actually marry her, because he says he just doesn't have enough money to go through with it. And right before she's murdered, she's decided that she's going to go back and give back the money and, you know, start clean all over again.
Right.
But what did Hitchcock tell you about what he wanted you to think of the character? And the psychology behind the character.
Actually, he said to me prior to the beginning of the shoot, he showed me the sets. He showed me his little, you know, miniature dolls and a little camera and how he moved it and what he was going to do. And he said, I really will give you, you sort of have carte blanche to do with Marion what you see in her and what you want to do and what you want to bring out in her. If you need any help in terms of motivation for my necessary move, I'm there for you. Or if I feel that your take on Marion is so far off that it's upsetting to the picture, obviously I will be there to direct you and steer you. He said, otherwise, let's see what you bring to her, which was wonderful, because my feeling, see, Mr. Hitchcock always had this dual personality in so much of his pictures, and especially in Psycho, the split personality, that the degree of good and evil is different in each person. And I took that, I took Marion as a decent person, tempted, frustrated, desperate.
My guest is Janet Leigh, and she's written a book about the making of Psycho. Now let's get to the shower scene. There were, about 70 different setup shots in the shower scene?
Yes, it was 70 plus.
Uh-huh. How did Hitchcock explain what he wanted from you in that scene, in the overview, before getting into each shot every day that you were doing a new shot? But what was the big kind of overview that he gave you before the whole sequence began?
Well, the overview was the actual drawings of each shot. I mean,
he shared those with you?
Oh, of course. He put them all out on a board so that everyone, the cast and crew, could see how it was proceeding. Saul Bass drew all the various angles that he and Hitchcock had, decided upon. And so he showed us the overhead shot, he showed us this shot, he showed us the close-up there, he showed us, you know, it was all planned. It was like, you know, those books where you flip quickly and you get the story, mm-hmm. and or the image, the picture image. Well, he had all of that right out in front of you.
So every time you did a shot, you knew exactly where the camera was looking. You knew if the camera was looking at your navel or looking at your head.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was looking at my navel, I could wear a bra and pants. You know, I mean, in other words, I dressed according to where the shot was, or undressed according to where the shot was.
Now, so the camera was looking at your navel. Did you feel, well, I don't have to particularly act in this shot? My face doesn't need to express anything because the camera won't see it.
That's not exactly true, because it's amazing how your body has a tone, has a, I don't know, a reaction to it. I can't explain it, but if you're just bland, your body's going to be bland. But if you're feeling, you know, the terror and the effect of the blows and whatever, your body shows that. I don't think that you can, you know, sort of separate it.
Now, what kind of knife was Anthony Perkins using?
A big, long butcher knife.
Was it a retracting knife?
No, it didn't retract. It wasn't steel, however. I mean, it looked like steel, but believe me, it wasn't. Because what people forget is that we could not show penetration of a weapon. So you could never see the knife going in, so you couldn't use a retractable knife. It had no purpose. What you saw was you saw the knife go back and lunge forward, and then you showed the shot of either a, you know, the shoulder or the tum or the thigh or whatever, and you in your mind imagined it going in there, and then you saw it pull back, and then you saw it go again, but you never saw it enter the body because it was not allowed.
Now, what did you think about to get that look of horror on your face when Tony Perkins pulls back the shower curtain and is there with his knife? Was just being in the moment with Tony Perkins enough, or did you think of other things beyond that?
I think that just, it wasn't always Tony Perkins doing that with the knife, you know. He had different people doing it.
With stand-ins?
A woman at one point, mm-hmm. so that the audience could never get a fix on the character. I mean, they all had the same clothes and wig and everything on, but different people were in different shots so that the audience could never kind of get a glimmer of who it might be.
Oh, you mean so even on screen, we weren't always seeing Tony Perkins?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. He wasn't even there. Huh. He was in New York rehearsing a play, I think. And
that's very sneaky.
Yes, of course, but that's Mr. Hitchcock. And because if the same person did it all the time, there was a possibility, slim, but still a possibility, that perhaps the audience might guess it. So by having different people of around the same stature play it and do the scene, the audience was never able to, you know, kind of be long enough to say, oh, that's... couldn't do it. And I didn't really need a lot of other thoughts in my head, because when that shower curtain goes back and you look at this figure, and which is exactly what they did in the thing, you know, I mean, that's pretty frightening. I didn't have any trouble with that.
My guest is Janet Leigh. We'll talk more about the making of Psycho after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Janet Leigh. We're talking about the making of Psycho. Now, you were doing the shower scene, so although you weren't completely nude, you weren't exactly clothed either. You write that you wore moleskin.
Right.
In the
full shots, where you wanted the body outline, right, I wore moleskin over, you know, where I should.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, one of the roughest things about that sequence, because it's, as you know, it's a nude-colored, almost soft suede-like or something on the outside, and then it's adhesive, obviously, on the inside, and, you know, taking it on and off was very, on tender skin, it was painful.
You must have felt particularly vulnerable, because here you are in the shower, you know, knowing that this actor with a big knife is going to be coming at you. But also you've got these crew guys looking at you from on top and from the sides, making you, I'm sure, feel more vulnerable. Were you able to use that vulnerability, knowing that the crew is looking at you when you were mostly naked? Could you work with that and use that for your facial expressions?
Well, I think you use everything, every tool available for whatever you're trying to portray. Certainly, I always noticed that during this shower sequence that everybody seemed to have a lot of assistance. It was a closed set, But there were more people than I remembered being on that set. I mean, I think each electrician had two assistants, and each, you know, grip had two assistants. And one time, one of the most difficult scenes, technically and also for me, was at the end when she falls forward and grabs the shower curtain and goes over the tub. Her head is kind of against that tub, and he starts on a close-up of the eye and pulls back into a long shot. Now, we did it several times. We were in the 20 takes, I don't know which one, 24, 5, something. And because it wasn't automatic focus, it was hand focus, it was a very difficult technical shot for the camera operator who had to do the focusing as we pulled back. And it was hard for me because of trying to just have a non-live look in your eye because I, well, that's another story about I couldn't wear contact lenses, not enough time. So it was just a hard shot. And around the, 24th or 5th, somewhere in there, everything seemed to be going well. But the steam from the hot water had started to sort of melt the adhesive on the moleskin. And I could feel it pulling away from my bosom. And now, I knew that camera-wise, it would never show. But the guys upstairs on the rafters, the electricians up there, the gaffers, they were going to get a peek. And I thought to myself, well, what do I do? I feel it pulling away. This shot is going well. I don't want to do this shot again. And it's nothing they haven't seen before. So I just said, let it rip. And because that was the shot that they printed.
How long did you have to stay there without blinking and, having your eye look dead?
Yeah, well, there was a point where the camera was far enough away that they couldn't tell whether I blinked or not. And he snapped a finger. I don't know in seconds how long, actually, but it seemed forever to me. And the awful thing was that the water was still dripping down my face, and it tickled. You know, you have the drops coming down your face, and it would tickle, and I couldn't react to it, obviously.
What was your reaction the first time you saw the final cut of that scene?
I didn't see that scene separately. I saw the entire picture. But I have to tell you that I screamed bloody murder. I mean, I really did. Even though I read the script, I'd done the show, I knew what was happening, and I was still here. It just blew me away.
So you mean it was more frightening to watch the scene than it was to shoot it?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because in shooting it, don't forget, you wait maybe 2 hours while they're setting up the shot, and of course the emotion is there when you're doing the scene, but then you relax again for another hour while they do the next setup. In the actual seeing of it, you saw the staccato, you saw the beat of the scene, you saw the mounting tenseness and the mounting, you know, desperation, and that's where it hits you. And the music, seeing that all together, that was what made it emphatic, is putting all the editing together and the music, because otherwise, it was spread out over 7 days. This way, I saw it in, 45 seconds, and it was terrifying to me. It's the truth that I never realized in my life before how vulnerable one is in a shower, and I don't take showers, that's the truth, because you are completely defenseless. I mean, one, you can't hear because the water's running. Two, unless you, have different kind of curtains, which I'm sure afterwards I know they did, but at that time, you couldn't see out because of the curtain, and you're naked, you're defenseless. And it just terrified me.
So it's been only baths since the making of Psycho?
Exactly. And if there's no other way, I mean, if wherever I happen to be only has a shower, it's with the door, the shower is never closed, the bathroom is very wet, and I'm always facing the door, and there is something by my side that I could grab if I had to.
Actress Janet Leigh spoke with Terry Gross earlier this year. I'm Marty Moscowane, and this is Fresh Air.